In Mark chapter 5, we're going to start reading in verse 1 this evening. The Word of God says, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones." You can go ahead and be seated this evening. You know, as we're here this evening, we're kind of like on the eve or right on the doorstep of World Conference 2017. And as we stop and we think about what this historical event represents to the ministry of Jesus Christ, we can't help but take time to think of how much the ministry of Victory Outreach resembles the ministry of Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart that the ministry of Victory Outreach was birthed in the heart of God to reach hurting people just like me and you. I believe that God, when He put it in the heart of Pastor Sonny back in 1967 to start the ministry of Victory Outreach, He had people like me and you in mind. Because He knew that there would come a time and a situation in our lives where we would need the gospel of Jesus presented to us in a way that we would be willing to accept it. That we would be able to relate to the manner that the gospel was being preached to us. Because for way too long, people like us, there was no hope for people like us. There was a mentality, and I've said it before, that people used to think that once you're a junkie, you'll always be a junkie. They used to think that once you were an alcoholic, you would always be an alcoholic. They used to think that once you were in a gang, that there was no getting out of the gang, that you would die a gang member. But God raised up a ministry by the name of Victory Outreach that brought a message of hope to the inner city to let dope fiends know that they didn't have to die a drug addict, that there was hope in Jesus Christ. A ministry that went into the hardened neighborhoods all over the world to tell gang members that Jesus Christ could change their lives, to let them know that they didn't have to die on the street corner representing a neighborhood, that they could actually be transformed by the power that's in the name of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ was brought to the inner city and presented in a way where people like me and you could relate to the message of hope and believe for the first time in our lives that our lives could be different. You see, in the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, we have an example of a man who was lost. A man who had problems that nobody knew how to deal with. We have the picture of the man, and the author of the book of Mark goes into great detail to let us know the condition of this man. The Bible tells us that this man often was chained up with shackles, and his arms and his hands were bound together, but he would break free, and that there was nothing that could change him. Nobody could tame him. So he resorted to being left out in a cemetery amongst the tombs, amongst all the dead people. And every day the Bible says that he would cry out for a way out, for some change in his life. And he was so frustrated with his life that the Bible says he would cut himself. He wanted to kill himself. He was so dissatisfied with the life that he was living, that he would cry out, but nobody heard him. He would cry out, and nobody could help him.
He would cut himself to draw attention to the miserable life and the pain and the hurt that he was feeling inside. But there was nobody that could heal him. Nobody that could set him free. Nobody that had an answer to his problem until that one glorious day that Jesus Christ came on the scene. And for the first time in that man's life, there was hope that his life could be different. You see, it's not by chance or by coincidence that Jesus came upon this man. That was Jesus' ministry, was reaching out to the impossible situations. His ministry was reaching out to those that were so sick that no doctor could heal them. His ministry was reaching out to the people that were so lost and so far gone that society had already given up, that people had lost hope and they had sent them away because they didn't want to deal with them. But Jesus went out of his way to reach out to these types of individuals because in his ability to transform their lives, he demonstrated the love, the power, and the mercy of God in being able to do the impossible in the lives of those individuals. Jesus went out of his way to reach the worst of the worst. Now, you would look at this man, and if you try to evaluate him with today's logic, this man is a recipe for disaster. He's got everything that plagued society going on in his life. His own family didn't want him. They sent him away. How many remember that, getting sent away? Because your family didn't want you. Well, Mark, this summer, you're going to go live with your uncle. Because we don't know what we're going to do with you. Maybe he'll straighten you out. We can't handle you anymore, so we're going to send you away to another state. And then society said, Mark, we don't know what we're going to do with you, so we're going to send you away to go do some time. We got sent away to drug treatment centers. We got sent away to relatives. We got sent away to jail in prison because nobody could change us. Nobody had the answer that we needed because what we needed was Jesus Christ, but it hadn't been presented to us in a way that we could accept it. So they just sent us away. The Bible says that this man cut himself. And he yelled out and he lived among dead people. Nobody could change him. And despite his best efforts to want to change his life, he couldn't. The Bible says that Jesus came on the scene. And when he comes on the scene, the Bible says that the man ran to Jesus. And he falls on his knees and he tells him, Jesus, don't torment me. He recognized him as being the Son of God. He recognized him as being the Messiah. But he said, Jesus, don't torment me. Don't punish me. Because in his preconceived notion of who Jesus was, he thought that Jesus was there to punish him just like everybody else. And I know that when I was growing up in my neighborhood and doing the things that I was doing, the last place that I wanted to go to was to church because they had told me that God was going to punish me for all the bad things that I had done. Even as a little boy, I would hear, don't do that because God's going to punish you. No hagas esto porque Dios te va a castigar. Was all I heard growing up. So all I knew about God was I seen him as a judge. I seen him as an executioner. I saw him as one that punished people whenever they did wrong or they didn't do what they were supposed to do. And this man, when Jesus came on the scene, he looked at Jesus the same way, that Jesus was there to punish him. Because the gospel or the message of Christ had never been presented to him in a way where he could understand God's love and God's mercy. You see, what made the difference in our lives, we'd heard the gospel before. We'd seen churches before. We'd seen Christians before. We knew of people that had given their lives to God. But it didn't impact our lives until we saw somebody like us. Until the gospel of Jesus Christ was presented to us in love, When somebody came and said, you know what, Jesus loves you. When somebody came up to me and told me, Jesus gave his life on the cross. He shed his blood. He gave his life as a living sacrifice so that you don't have to burn in hell more. Jesus did that because he loves you. And I had a testimony of a man and a woman who had run the streets using heroin, done time in prison. And they came to me and they told me, Jesus loves you. The miracle that he's done in our lives, he can do it in your life as well. This man thought that God was there to punish him. Because all his life, that's how he had grown up. Thinking that people were out to hurt him, that people were out to punish him because nobody understood what was going on inside. You see, I look at the ministry of Victory Outreach and I think to myself, this is a recipe for disaster. Because if we look at the people that are in our church, I'm going to tell on some of you tonight. If we look at the people that are in our church, the diversity of people that come to worship God at Victory Outreach Albuquerque. We got people from all different walks of life. We have people that come to church here that have spent most of their lives in prison or in jails. And we have people in our church that have never been to jail or prison. We have people in our church that have lived most of their lives addicted to drugs or alcohol. But then we have people in our church that have never been addicted to drugs or alcohol. We got people that have grown up hating other people just because of the color of their skin. But still in our church, we have a diversity of people from all kinds of ethnic backgrounds. Even though that this is a recipe for disaster because the Spirit of God lives at Victory Outreach Albuquerque. Because the Spirit of God lives in Victory Outreach, we can come together under the red stained banner of Jesus Christ and worship the King of Glory in this place because of the Spirit of God. This man thought that Jesus was there to torment him. But Jesus was there to love him, to heal him. Because the Bible says that God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He goes out of his way to look for people like us. Victory Outreach is a ministry, much like the ministry of Jesus Christ, where we go out of our way to reach out to the hardest of the hardest. We go out of our way to reach the gang members, the drug addicts, the alcoholics, the prostitutes. We wake up early on Saturday mornings to go to level 6 lockdown in Santa Fe prison to let people know that Jesus Christ loves them, that Jesus Christ can change their lives, and that the same miracle that he did for us, he can do for them. We spend our own money. We take up pledges. We take up offerings. We pass out flyers. We take time out of our day to reach the people that nobody else wants. We go out of our way to reach the hurting people that nobody understands. We go out of our way to reach the people that society has given up on. Why? Because that is the calling that God has placed on the ministry of Victory Outreach. And when we talk about the World Conference celebrating 50 years of reaching the inner cities, the hurting people, that's what God has called us to do. And you think about the leadership in our ministry, that is a recipe for disaster. Pastor Sonny was an ex-dope fiend gang member from the streets of New York City. The elders of Victory Outreach, our ex-heroin addicts, ex-gang members, ex-people that were out on the streets living their life for the devil. But God got a hold of them. And now it is the largest inner city ministry of the world. You talk about a recipe for disaster. If these men had not been transformed by the power of God, imagine all the scandals that would surround the ministry of Victory Outreach. They would think, oh, it's just like a drug addict. It's just like a gang member. I could have told you that was going to happen. Oh, they took the money and ran. They did this. They did that. We'd be on every talk show on television. But because of the integrity of the men of God that are leading our ministry, we are a ministry that stands alone in reaching the hurting people of the inner city. You see, Jesus came to this man. And not only was he going to set him free, you know, the deliverance from the drugs and the alcohol and the lifestyle that we were living is just the beginning. God has so much more. God has so much more that he wants to do in our lives. It's not just getting us free from drugs and alcohol. That's just the beginning. There's a whole lot of healing that needs to go on in our heart because we got more serious issues in our lives than just drugs and alcohol. The drugs and the alcohol are just the symptoms of the deeper problem that is the condition of our heart. We got issues of abandonment that we deal with because our parents walked out on us. We have issues of abandonment because our parents didn't want us around. We have issues with failure because that's all we've known all our lives. We have issues with self-esteem because everybody always used to tell us that we would never amount to anything. We have issues in our life because we don't know how to love other people because nobody's ever shown us love. We have so many other things that are going on inside of our lives. But just like God was able to break us free from drugs and alcohol, God is able to heal the hurt in your heart. He's able to set you free from all the things that oppressed you and make you the man and the woman of God that he's called you to be. You see, the Bible says that this guy came to Jesus and said, "Don't torment me." And Jesus was there to love him, not to torment him. Jesus was there to give him a better future. Later on, if you pick up the story in around verse 14, the Bible says that this man is clothed, he's seated, and he's in his right mind. And people start to come from all over the place. Because this man is not the same man that he used to be. This man is not the same person that he used to be. He has become a demonstration of the power of God. He has become a living testimony of the transforming power of Jesus Christ. He is a living example of what God is able to do in the life of an individual that surrenders their heart to God. That's what we are here this evening. We are living testimonies of the power of God because what the prison system was unable to do, God was able to do. What the turquoise lodge was unable to do, God was able to do. What those drug treatment programs were unable to do, God was able to do in our lives. What our own families were unable to do, Jesus Christ did it in our lives because he has transformed us where we are not the same person that we used to be. We're not out there ripping and running anymore. We're not out there like wild men and like wild women. We are seated in our right mind. Now we walk with our head held high instead of looking down on the ground because we have something to live for now. Before it was all a lie. Before it was all despair. Before it was all depression. But now we have the joy of the Lord. We're walking a little bit different tonight. We're looking a little bit different tonight because of the miracle that Jesus Christ has done in our lives. Are you with me tonight? The Bible says that when they came to see him, they marveled and they were amazed at what had become of this man. And Jesus was about to take off, and the demon-possessed man ran to Jesus and said, "Jesus, take me with you. I want to serve you, Jesus. I want to be your right-hand man. I want to be right there where you're at, Jesus. I don't want to be separated from you. Lord, take me with you." And Jesus says, "I have a better plan for you. As much as I would like for you to come with me, there are some people that you need to go and talk to." He said, "I need you to go back to your friends. I need you to go back to your family. I need you to go back to your neighborhood and tell them what I've done in your life so that they can see that Jesus is real and in the miracle working business. Although I would love for you to come with me, I need you to go back home." Man, doesn't that sound like the ministry of Victory Outreach? You see, we're not called just to come to church. We're not called just to come and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. And we all love Jesus and we're going to make some s'mores after church. And we're just going to have a great old time in church. And we're just a church family and we just love each other. No, we come to Victory Outreach and the first thing they tell us to do is go. Don't be hanging around in church. Go to the streets. Go to the drug-infested areas of your neighborhood. Go to the streets where the prostitutes are selling their bodies. Go to those places where the gang members are kicking back and let them know what God has done in your life. It would be nice if we could just be all in a comfortable church, air-conditioned and everything, and we're all loving life. But God has so much more. Because I'll tell you one thing, there is nothing that makes a man or a woman of God feel more in love than telling somebody about Jesus Christ and what God has done in your life. Me and Pastor Joe were talking about that, and I shared it the other day. Man, there's nothing that makes me feel more alive than when I'm preaching to people in prison. Because I know that I could be there right where they're at. But because if it wasn't for the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ, I would be doing time right along with them. But it makes you feel alive because you have a message of hope. And you believe the message because it's being demonstrated in your life. I can tell a drug addict that God can change their life because he's done it for me. I can tell a gang member that God can change his life because he's done it for me. I can tell somebody that's doing time that God can set them free because he's done it for me. I am a demonstration of the power of God. God has done it in my life. I believe it. So I tell other people that God can do the same for them. He wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus told him, go back to your family. You know what the Bible says this guy did? The Bible says that he went and started preaching in Decapolis. That is a Greek word that is made up of two different words. The first one is deca, which means ten, and opolis, which means city. So he didn't go back to one city. He went back to 10 cities. And if that don't sound like Victory Outreach, I don't know what does. You see, homeboy didn't just get saved. He got envisioned. He got commissioned. He got launched out. And he went and he took 10 cities for the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. He didn't just show up to church. He got radically saved. And once he got radically saved, Jesus sent him out. He says, I want you to start with your friends and your family, but I got bigger plans for you. I'm going to launch you out to 10 cities. You're going to tell people about Jesus in 10 cities? Yes, that same guy that used to cut himself, that same guy that used to yell out in the middle of the night, that same guy that used to be bound with shackles, that same guy that nobody wanted anything to do with, all of a sudden because of the power of God, he's preaching the gospel in 10 different cities and people are coming to know Jesus Christ as the Messiah and as their Lord and Savior. That's what God's able to do in our lives. That's the ministry of Victory Outreach. That's what World Conference 2017 is all about. Not about just getting saved. Not just about getting rid of our drug addiction. Not just about coming to church. But being envisioned, being inspired, believing that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives to go out to the inner cities of the world and proclaim the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Whether you're here or whether you go to the conference, it doesn't make a difference. We're part of a worldwide movement. We're part of a ministry that demonstrates the love and the power of God. We're part of a ministry that is dedicated to reaching the worst of the worst because we believe in a God that can change anybody. He went out and he preached the gospel in 10 cities. The same guy. Imagine what God can do in your life. Imagine what God can do in your life if we surrender our hearts totally and completely to the Lord. If I can get you to come to the piano, please. You see, this guy came to a point where he made a decision. God told him, I want you to go back to your family. I want you to go and preach the gospel in these cities. And he had a decision to make. He had a decision on whether he was going to say yes or he was going to say no. After everything that Jesus had done in his life, after everything that he had just experienced in that short time and the miracle that had transpired in his life, now God is asking him, or Jesus is asking him, to go and preach the gospel. And he has a decision. Am I going to be a spectator or a participant in this move of God? Am I going to stand around and hear the reports? Am I going to stand around and see what God is doing in other people's lives? Or am I going to make a decision to step into the game, to trust God, to say, God, you've saved me for a reason. God, you saved me with a purpose. I want to fulfill that plan and that purpose that you have for my life. I'm going to trust you, God, and know that you saved me because you want to use me to reach other hurting people. There's people that need to hear your testimony. There's people that need to hear your story. There's people that will benefit from you telling them everything that God has done in your life. There is another person out there that's hurting just like you were, that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. There is a person out there that believes that God is just a punishing God, that needs you to go and tell them that Jesus loves them and present Jesus in a way where they will accept him because they see what God has done in your life. You see, the story of the man from the Gadarenes is a demonstration of the ministry of Victory Outreach. Jesus' willingness to go and reach the worst of the worst. It's also a demonstration of the ministry of Victory Outreach in that God has called us to reach the hurting people in the inner cities. And God uses people like us. What a privilege. When I first got saved and came to the home, I thought to myself, you know what? I can never live up to these men of God in the Bible. Because I would read or I had heard about them and I would see like, man, these guys, you know, they killed giants and they were thrown into lion's den and they led people out of the bondages of Egypt. And there's no way that I could ever be like that. That's pie in the sky stuff for me. I can't believe that. But then as I started reading the Word of God and I started reading about the history of these men and realized that they had their shortcomings, realize that they weren't perfect, realize that they had their struggle, but God was still able to use them. And I thought to myself, it has nothing to do with the individual and everything to do with God. It has nothing to do with our own abilities. It has nothing to do with our charisma. It has nothing to do with our intelligence. It has all to do with what God is able to do in the life of an individual that allows himself to be used by God. And I started thinking to myself, if God can use people like that, then I'm going to believe that God can use me. And the ministry of Victory Outreach is a message full of hope. You hear the testimony of our founder. You hear the testimony of our pastor, Danny. You hear the testimony of the elders in our ministry. They all started off like us. The majority of them started off in the home. Drug addicts coming in, wanting to get clean, and God placed a calling on their life, and God was able to raise them up and use them to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God wants to do the same for us. We are privileged to be in a ministry where we're able to see on a daily basis the transforming power of Jesus Christ. How can we not believe? How can we not believe that there is a God, that there is a loving Savior that wants to change people's lives when we see it every day around us? We have married couples in our church that by statistics shouldn't even be married. Statistics will tell you that an ex-dauphin and another ex-dauphin should never get together. That's a recipe for disaster. Maybe according to the world, but according to the Bible, it says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The only reason we are successful is because of Jesus. The only reason it works is because of Jesus. The only reason we can believe for the impossible is because of Jesus. Stand to your feet this evening. Come on, bow your heads and close your eyes all over this place. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, help me in this place. Let's worship the Lord. Come on, let's lift our hearts, lift our voices. Let's just worship the Lord in this place tonight. Hallelujah. We worship you. Jesus, we love you this evening, God. What a privilege, God, to be part of this ministry, Lord. To see your miracle working power demonstrated in the lives of so many people in this church, God. Thank you, God, for this opportunity that you've given us to serve in this ministry. That is a photocopy of your ministry when you are here on earth, God, reaching the down and out, those that everybody has given up hope on, Lord. Thank you for the privilege that you've given us to serve in this ministry, Lord. And Lord, this evening I know that there are men and women in this place, God, at different stages of their walk with you. There are some that are just coming in this evening, God, and maybe they're thinking that, can God really use me? I pray tonight, God, that your Holy Spirit would minister to their hearts, God, and encourage them, God, to know that you are able to do more and above anything that they could ever imagine, God. God, there might be others that are here this evening, God, that are at a stage in their life, God, where they've been coming to church and they've seen you work in their lives, God, but they're being challenged to believe you for more, God. To step out in faith, God, in ministry and do the work that you've called them to do, God. I pray this evening, God, that you would minister to their hearts, God. Encourage them, God. Build their faith, God, and their trust in you. Thank you, God, for the ministry of Victory Outreach. Our eldership, God. Pastor Sonny and his wife, Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara, God. God, that have demonstrated your power in their lives, God, and given us a visual example, God, of what you are able to do in the life of an individual that yields their heart totally and completely to you, God. Come on, worship the Lord in this place tonight. If you're here this evening, and God has challenged you tonight to believe him for the supernatural in your life, I want you to quickly step out of your chair and come to this altar and say, God, I want that transformation in my life.